Well, it's good to be in God's house this morning. Good to be with you, worshiping the Lord. I want you to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me into Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be reading together again this morning, verses 1 through 9. We read through these together last week and look at them again this morning. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. God gave me a few more thoughts this week on this passage that I want to share with you on the promises of God, God being our promise keeper, our promise keeper. Before we get into the scripture and into this message, I just want to share with you and just invite you to come back next Sunday. I'd like everybody to be here if possible. I hope that the weather is going to cooperate. I plan on sharing some things on God's vision, the vision and the purposes of the church next Sunday. And I think this is going to be a good time, a good Sunday together. I want to tell you right now, it's not going to be anything like it's not going to blow you away, I don't think. God has not shared things with me that's going to be like, oh my gosh, we're going to be off in this direction that is totally different or anything like that, because even pastors, churches all over the world right now, we're struggling. We're trying to figure this out. And this, we never thought that 2 years into COVID that we'd still be dealing with COVID things. And I really appreciate those of you that are coming, that have been around, people that maybe have that you've been around that have sicknesses, and you're wearing masks, you're doing things to help out with that. So thank you. We're still trying to figure out, how are we going to do ministry now? Many churches are still at 50% what they were a couple of years ago. So I'm going to share some things with you that I'm just sensing that God is leading us as a church in, and I don't want to go into a bunch of details right now. I'll do that next Sunday, but you want to be here, and make sure that if you see somebody that is normally here, make sure they know about that Vision Sunday, next Sunday, right at 10 o'clock. It's going to be all part of the service. We'll still be worshiping in our singing time together and doing some of the normal things that we do, but spending some time looking at God's Word in the area of vision. Where are we going? What is God doing right now and in the world and in the church especially? So be a great time. Well, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Last week I shared with you some background of the scripture. I don't want to go into all that background again, but just remember as we read these verses, if you weren't here last week and you're not familiar with the background of this passage, this is a passage that right away God is talking to Joshua. He's saying, and he doesn't have to remind Joshua that Moses is dead, but he starts right out and says, Moses is dead. This is after Moses, the leader of Israel, for many years. Died. He reminds Joshua about several different things that we're going to continue looking at. Even though that great leader passed away, God was saying, Joshua, I've raised you up to be the leader now. You're going to take my people into a new territory, into a new place that they've not been before, this place that I have promised that you're going to go. And here are some promises that I want to give you. And that's what we read about in Joshua 1, 1 through 9. He says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For I am the Lord your God. I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. I've started this year, and actually my daughter and then Terry introduced this to me. It's found on YouVersion, actually, if you're part of YouVersion, have the app. It also has its app on its own as well, and it's the Bible in 1 year. The Bible in 1 year with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. They're from clear across the sea in England somewhere, isn't it? London or England. But some of you, I don't know if you've been a part of their Bible in 1 year, have gone through that with them. But it's a remarkable journey with Nikki and Pippa. Because what they do is they go through the Bible in 1 year with you, but they give you commentary, especially Nikki. He reads and shares commentary and just kind of explains the passage to you. And then it's read to you, and then he explains a little bit more. Well, the other day as I was listening to this, I was going through it, reading it along with him, he talked about this, and he says, I have never forgotten a talk I heard over 30 years ago. He said the speaker started by saying that the Christian life is battle and blessing. 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 And the speaker just kept going on and on, he said. And at the time, Nikki thought, why is he going on like this? Will it ever end? And he said, but he was making a memorable and profound point. When we are in the battle, it is hard to believe that it will ever come to an end. But when we are in a period of blessing, we sometimes expect it to go on forever. But life is not like that. There are battles and there are blessings. They're about battles and blessings. Right away in this passage in Joshua chapter 1, after God tells and reminds Joshua about Moses being dead, he says this, get ready. Get ready, because they're in this time where they're getting ready, and there's going to be some battles. There's going to be some times where they're facing some difficulties, facing some times in life that they have not faced before. Now, some of the people had Joshua and Caleb, those two, they already knew what it was like to cross a big river, that God had parted the sea when they had fled Egypt. But most of those people, that next generation, had not. They were a generation that didn't know about some of that, the powerful miracles that had happened, like Joshua and Caleb had experienced. But God was saying, get ready. Get ready. You're going to cross this river. And there's going to be some things on the other side that you're going to face. But I want to remind you, Joshua, even though you need to get ready, here's some things I want to remind you about. And last week, we talked about some of these promises that God reminded Joshua about. He said God reminded him that he would strengthen Joshua and the people. How do I know that? He didn't just say, I'm going to strengthen you. No, he said, Joshua, be bold and courageous. And if God asked and commanded Joshua to be bold and courageous, I believe that God will supply that, all that Joshua would need to be bold and courageous. God wants us to be bold and courageous in our faith, and God will strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will strengthen you. The second promise that we looked at was that God will hold us. God will hold us. When we're going through life, when we're having a great time in the time of blessings, God is still holding our hand in those times. But when we're going through the battles, that's when we really need to remember that God's holding our hand. He's holding us. Sometimes he's holding us up, our whole self up. He holds us close in those storms of life. Amen? When things are rough, we can't see sometimes past that mess. But God is holding us. Promise three we looked at, God is guiding us. God will guide you through all that you go through. He guides us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our helper, our guide, our teacher. Jesus told us that in John 14:26. God also reminded Joshua and the people, reminded us last week, promised for that he would encourage us. That God would encourage us through his word. He would encourage us through times like this where we worship and praise him together. He would encourage us through other believers sometimes and their testimonies. That's why I reminded us last week, tell your story. Tell people how God is taking you through or what he's taking you through. And God will encourage us. This morning I want to give us four more promises, but they're going to be a little bit different. There's a little bit different twist to these promises. All those other promises were what God will do. Today I'm going to look at, and we're going to look at four promises that God won't do. He actually promised things that he would not do. And here's some things that we're going to look at that God won't do. But first of all, before we get into these, I want to remind us, because we can look at things about God, and we've been focusing on this year of being a new year, but the same God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we can't fully comprehend God. Some days I just feel like the more that I think I understand, the more that I read and meditate on God's word, the more I realize I have so much more to learn. The more I realize I haven't even hardly grasped who God really is. I'm so thankful for his word and through the Holy Spirit that helps us comprehend God in the ways that we can. But how does God take care of 7.9 billion people all at the same time? I have no idea. That baffles my mind. How does God listen to that many people? Or, you know, I'm sure not everybody's talking to God at the same time, but how does God even pay attention to 10 people talking at the same time to him? We don't understand those things, do we? But that's why he's God, and we are not. Brennan Manning, in his book, The Relentless Tenderness of Jesus, he wrote, losing our illusions. He's talking about the illusions that we have of God, the pictures and the idols that we form in our minds of who God really is. He said, losing those illusions is painful, because illusions are the stuff that we live by. The Spirit of God is the great unmasker of illusions, the great destroyer of icons and idols. God's love for us is so great that he does not permit us to harbor false images, no matter how attached we are to them. God strips those falsehoods from us, no matter how naked it may make us, because it is better to live naked in truth than clothed in fantasy. He goes on and he says, still, there is a chronic temptation to reduce God to human dimensions, to express him in manageable ideas. But human reason seeks to understand, to reduce everything to its own terms. But God is God. He is more than a superhuman being with an intellect keener than ours and a capacity for loving greater than ours. He is unique. He is uncreated. He's infinite. He is totally other than we are. He surpasses and transcends all human concepts, considerations, and expectations. He is beyond anything we can intellectualize or imagine. That is why God, he says, is a scandal to men and women, because he cannot be comprehended by a finite mind. There's a lot of truth in what he just said in those two paragraphs. We try to understand God, don't we? We try to understand his ways. I try to preach the best that I can to help us understand better out of God's word who God is. But we can't fully comprehend him. He's too great for us. But there are things in his word that we can understand. Thank him. We thank him for that. And out of this chapter, Joshua chapter 1, I believe that these promises today, these promises are ways that he has spoken not only to Joshua, not only to the Israelites that day, but to us as well. Promises us to do these things, but also promises us that he won't do certain things. And that's how we get to know God, because of these ways that he provides for us to know him. So promise number 5 is this: God will never fail you. I know that's not a profound statement today. I know that I'm sure all of us today have heard that before. Like, well, yeah, Todd, I believe that. I want to remind us, I want you to really think about that today. God will never fail you. He won't fail you. He said in verse 5 to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." There's some translations of the Bible that instead of using the word forsake, they use the word fail. I will never leave you and I will never fail you or forsake you. Remember, Joshua, how I was with Moses. Remember what I did in the past. Don't forget that, Joshua. Just like I was with them, I will be with you too. I will never fail you, Joshua. God's ways are perfect, so he cannot fail. God is holy, so he cannot fail. The definition of forsake is to give up on, to renounce, to turn away from entirely, or to quit on. God is not going to forsake us. He's not going to quit on you and on me. He's going to keep pursuing us, even if we walk away. I have lost count of the times that I have failed people. I've lost count of the times that I have failed Terry. I have maybe failed you. I have maybe failed others in my family. But God, on the other hand, will never fail us. He will always be with us. So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, because God is not going to fail you. Be strong and very courageous. He'll take care of you today. He will fight for you when you can't fight for yourself. Stay close to him. He never fails. And since God will never fail you, promise number 6 says this: God will never deceive you. God, it will never deceive you. In verse 7 in Joshua 1, he said this to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. And then he said, be careful. Be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. Now, if God tells Joshua, or told Joshua, and if he tells us, be careful, doesn't that sound like a God that cares about us? That wants to see us succeed, to be prosperous, to be successful in life. He wants us to obey him. And he provides us with everything that we need, it says, through his word to be successful and prosperous. Now, why would we ever think that God would want to deceive us? That's absurd thinking. He is not the deceiver. Now, our enemy, Jesus said, the enemy is the deceiver. In John 8:44, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Speaking of our enemy, the devil. He is the deceiver. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, I'm not going to read all those verses, but Peter starts out in verse 1 saying that God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God has given us everything we need. Everything we need. He will never deceive us. He will never deceive us. That sounds like somebody that wants us to be successful in life. When I was in elementary school, the rumor was that the principal had a ginormous paddle. I mean, I was picturing my mind like this big. So if you were going to get in trouble in school, you were going to be facing the possibility of facing the principal's paddle. That brought great fear into my mind. Besides that, when I was in elementary school, my dad was a teacher in the same building that I was a student in. And when I was in fourth and fifth grade in school, my dad taught, his class was just right across the hall from me. So I remember one particular day, I can remember this still in my mind, that the teacher caught me for doing something. I can't remember what I was doing. I don't remember that part about it. But I remember the teacher saying, Todd, get out in the hall. Go out in the hall. You need a timeout, whatever the teacher said. And so I went out the hall. There was a chair out there, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, if the principal comes up those steps from his office, I'm going to be facing his paddle. If my dad walks out of the classroom, I'm also going to be in big trouble by him. So I'm just sitting there in great fear thinking, oh my goodness, this is not good. Thankfully, I do not remember getting in trouble by either one of the, either the principal or my father. But some of those memories, some of those thoughts have been deep into my mind, and I believe that because of some of that and some of that thinking, I developed some wrong thinking in my life about God. And as I was growing up, I would think sometimes that, boy, if I slip up, it's like God's got this ginormous paddle, and he's just going to whack me with it if I mess up. Or he's going to see somehow me sitting in trouble, I'm going to be in more trouble. Or I mess up and Jesus is going to come back right now. And I'm going to miss out on the rapture. All those thoughts, all those pastors that meant well, all those hellfire and brimstone messages that those of you that grew up in the church probably heard as well. But I developed some wrong thinking. When God says to us, I will never fail you. Be prosperous. Be successful in life. Be careful. Be careful with what you do and how you live. That's a God that is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God that knows that there's nothing we can do on our own to be perfect. It's only through His grace, only through the Holy Spirit transforming our life from the inside out that's going to make the difference in our life. God is not waiting just to destroy us with a ginormous, gigantic paddle in life. Don't think that. That's that mindset that Brennan Manning was talking about, those idols or those images that we sometimes can very easily have about God. But God will not deceive you. He will not deceive you. He will not destroy you. He will not destroy you. I think there's a little bit of difference there between deceiving and destroying, but they kind of go hand in hand as well, because since God will not fail us, He won't deceive us, He won't destroy us. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. Those verses also, they don't sound like someone that wants to destroy you. It sounds like a God who loves you and wants you to live victorious. Last week I emphasized that we looked a little bit more on the part of being successful and prosperous. It's very easy for us, especially in our Western world, to think success and prosper equal riches and power and seeing ourselves built up. That's not what God is saying there. Prosperous and successful, many times in God's Word, is having more and more of God, more of the Holy Spirit in our life, and so that because sometimes we leak, don't we? And we need times where we say, God, I need you in more and more ways, and God wants us to remember that. He's a God of life. He's a God that doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to see us succeed in our walk with Him. In Genesis chapter 9, so it's very interesting. You want to turn with me there. Genesis chapter 9. You know, there are different covenants in the Bible that God had made with different people. We talk many times about the covenant that God made with Abraham, the new covenant was brought in with Jesus, and then I don't know if I've really studied a whole lot about this covenant that God made with Noah. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 17, and I just want us to look at these verses because it ties into whether God will or will not ever destroy us or not. Verse 11, it says, and this is after the flood, after those 40 days, 40 nights. This is after many, many days of waiting to get out of that ark. And finally, they're out of the ark after the flood. And Noah is hearing some things from God. And God is saying that he now establishes a covenant. Even if you go back to verse 9 or verse 8 with me. It says, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you. the birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, all those who, that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth, the rainbow appears in the sky, in the clouds. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on this earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. As I was looking at that passage, just those words, the everlasting covenant, just jumped up at me. How God does that is so awesome. That everlasting covenant that God will not destroy you. God will not destroy me. He'll never do that again. God loves you. God doesn't want to destroy you. Sometimes, you know, if we don't say it, I think sometimes we think it. We think, why did God ruin my life? It's kind of like Job. You know, you go through Job and you read some things, and Job had some great thoughts and some truth about what he was saying about God. But sometimes there's some times where Job was just blaming God, saying, "God, this is your fault." And we think, boy, my life stinks right now. It's got to be because God doesn't love me. Careful. Careful, because God will never destroy you. God doesn't want to destroy you. He loves you too much. That's great news for us this morning. That's a great promise that we have, the everlasting covenant. His promise that he will never destroy all humankind again. Well, God must have thought that Joshua needed one more reminder. One more reminder about his presence. One more reminder that he would never leave him. Because he said in verse 9, then, I will never abandon you. Joshua, I'm not going to fail you. Joshua, I won't deceive you, and I'm not going to destroy you as you're leading these people and as you're going into this new territory. And Joshua, just one more time, I want to make sure you remember this, that I will never, ever leave you. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Do you want to experience true peace in your life? Trust God that he will never leave you. Trust him that he will be with you wherever you go. In Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, in the Good News translation, it reads like this: You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. He will always protect us. He will always protect us. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote it so beautifully. He said, do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He went on and he said, think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The enemy wants us to think the opposite. He wants us to think that God is trying to ruin our life. He wants us to think that where we're going, there's going to be danger. There's going to be all kinds of things that are out there that we shouldn't even go on this journey with God anymore. That God, he tries to get us to believe that God is the one deceiving us. But he is the father of lies. He is the deceiver, the destroyer today. But God is the God that gives us true peace, true love, true joy, the patience that we need in life, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the self-control that we need to do what is right and pleasing. Think about those things. Think about that. Remember, church, remember, God will be with you. God will be with us no matter where we go, no matter what the vision is, no matter what the purpose is that God wants us to do. God will be with us every step of the way. And it may be totally different than what we think in our minds. It may be totally different than what we've done before in the past. It could be the exact same. We don't know all those things. We don't know. We can't see totally the future like God does. But we can know that God will never leave us. Amen.